God's gifted you in some way. Are you using your talents for His glory? Today on Telling the Truth, Jill Briscoe helps you discover your God-given talents and encourages you to use them for His purposes. That's coming up, but first, it's hard sometimes to know what God's will is for your life. That's why we want to send you a 5-message series by the Briscoes to help you discover and live out God's purposes for you every day. It's called God's Will for My Life, and it's our way to say thanks for your gift this month to help more people receive powerful truths from God's Word through this broadcast. But time is running out to get your copy before the end of the month. So call today to give and request your copy of God's Will for My Life, 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Now, let's get into today's message from Jill Briscoe called How to Discover My Gifts.
I remember as a teenager being very sulky and not wanting to help. I always hated housework. I haven't changed much. I don't enjoy it. I like it done. I like my house clean. I like it tidy. And then I like to get on with life. But it isn't one of my great joys. I just don't enjoy it. And as a teenager, I didn't enjoy it. And I remember sitting in a winter night, and there was lovely coal fire in the hearth, and my father was reading his fishing books, and I was snuggled up reading a book that I wanted to read, and my mother was slaving away in the kitchen getting supper ready. And my father looked at me and very quietly said, "Go and help your mother." And I said, "She doesn't need help. I asked her before." He said, "Go and help your mother, whether you think she needs it or not. She needs some help." Well, I was mad, and I threw my book down, and I, typical, you know, junior high, coming up senior high, and got out into the kitchen, and I arrived, in my mother's words, next to her like a little tornado, and said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And she said, "Nothing, thank you. Go back. I don't want you here with a face like that. If you don't want to help me, and, you know, if you don't want to do it with a willing heart, get out of here." And I think those of you that are mothers know what I mean. You'd rather they didn't help you than helped you with an unwilling heart. Well, this put me in a terrible dilemma, because I knew I couldn't go back into the cozy fire immediately, because my father would say, "What are you doing back here? Go and help your mother." And I'd be in a problem again. But she wouldn't have me in. She said, "Get out of my kitchen. I don't want you here with a sulky face like that. If you can't help me with a cheerful heart, I don't want you." And so I went into the hallway. And in England, you don't have central heating. It was freezing out there. Mother was nice and warm because she had the kitchen oven on. And father was nice and warm because he had the big coal fire. And I was in the hall, and I didn't dare go into my dad, and I didn't dare go back to my mother. And I thought, "Oh, this is so miserable." And eventually I counted up to what I thought was quite a reasonable number, and then went back in casually whistling as if I'd helped my mother, and sat down with my book. And my father just looked up and said, "What are you doing back in here? Go and help your mother." I was at it again. But you know, years later, when I read some of the scriptures, I came across that verse: "We are not to give grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver." And then I understood, and I look back, and of course I've had teenagers myself and been through it all. And I understand why God doesn't want us to give grudgingly, because we have to. Or of necessity, because it's got to be done, somebody's got to do it. But the word is hilariously, cheerfully, with a willing heart. Everybody has that choice to have that good attitude about it. Just be willing. I used to write letters to all the people I was leading to Christ, try and help them to grow in Jesus. Why do you think I write books? Because I started to journal. I started to write letters. And so natural talents that if I had never come to Christ would still be a talent and being used for myself or the world can be used if they're given to God. And the word is consecrated. Set aside. Moses said, "Bring your natural talents. Put them here in this pile or that pile, and we'll do something with them." And that's what they did. And it said, "Anybody that can do any sort of craft, bring it." Have you ever wondered, if you're good at crafts, how could I use this for God? If I'm really good at a craft, I could have a little craft class in my neighborhood for my neighbors, and we could do this craft and never mention Jesus till the last day. And then maybe I can think of a clever way of giving them a little booklet and sharing my faith or whatever. You can use your natural talents to build what God wants to build. So make a list of them. That's very exciting for me to do that. And, you know, I would have to say that as far as I know, the natural talents God has given me have all been put to use in a ministry, except one. That's skating. I have never used my ice skate. I was going to be an ice skater instead of a teacher. I had pneumonia when I was little, and I was sort of chesty. And so the doctor said, what you need to do is learn to skate. And so when I was a little girl, I went to a Liverpool ice rink, and I learned to skate. And you can go in these little shows, you know, and my sister was a lot better than me. She got in the big shows, and I didn't get as many medals as she did and whatnot. But I was good enough to be able to teach skating if I wanted to do it. It was my parents that put their foot down and said, you're not going to do that. But I've never used my ice skating. And, you know, maybe I never will. But the thought did just occur to me the other day. Remember when every shopping center had a little ice rink? I thought, wouldn't it be neat if I could put one of my drama plays on ice? If I could just find some people that could skate. Wouldn't that be wonderful? A gospel on ice? I think I've never done that, but I've never used it yet, but maybe one day. And you know what's so exciting? Just those natural talents, the things that you do good. And all of you do something good. Even if it's mothering skills, cooking, doing somebody's hair. Just imagine offering to do everybody's hair that can't afford it to be done if you're really good at it, and then being able to talk to them, being able to build a bridge of friendship for God. So you consecrate, set aside your talents, and with a good attitude, give it to God. You can count on the Spirit. In 30, down to the end of 35, Moses said to the Israelites, now then, the Lord has chosen these two special men and has filled them with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. You notice that the Holy Spirit does something with your natural talents, and they are just as much a spiritual ability as far as God is concerned as a spiritual ability, which we will talk about now. But what about now our spiritual gifts? Because along with all these practical preparations for which natural talents, spirit-led, spirit-filled natural talents were used, and along with all the material possessions, there were also to be clothes made for the priests. And the priests and the Levites and Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the women who served in the temple were all to have specific garments made for them. And they were to have them because these people were to be preachers and teachers, prayers, worship leaders, singers, choirs, counselors, encouragers, people that prophesied, people that healed. And these are the sort of spiritual gifts that we think about when we think of spiritual gifts. Everybody says, well, I don't know what sort of spiritual gift I have, but if you would only start with your material possessions and all your natural talents, you would find out what spiritual gifts you had. Yes, you would, because so often they come alongside. And if you would only consecrate what you know you can do, then what you don't know you can do suddenly begins to happen as you do what you know you can do. You can be a naturally talented teacher but not have a spiritual gift of teaching. If your natural talent is consecrated, God will use that. There are some teachers, however, that find as they are using their natural teaching gift, something happens and people get converted. And they discover that using their natural talent, they have discovered the gift of an evangelist they didn't know they had, which is a spiritual ability. Doesn't mean that just a natural gift of talented teaching, spirit-filled, isn't a spiritual gift. It just means that that's a natural talent consecrated, spirit-filled that God is using, and it's just as important as the gift of an evangelist. But often the gifted teacher will find themselves using their natural talent and realizing they are effective in changing people's lives. And that's one way you discover that you have a spiritual ability. They often run alongside, they often run in and out of your natural talents. And that's why when people are always saying to me, if only I knew what I should be doing and what my spiritual gift is, I start and say, what are your natural talents? What are you doing with them? And I often figure out they're never doing anything with them. So that's what I do. That's easy to find out what their natural talents are. I get them going. I find a need that needs their natural talent. I link them up. They get going. They enjoy it. And as they're doing it, a lady said this to me last week. She said, you know that job you got me just putting stuff in envelopes at Elmbrook? And I said, yes. She said, I love doing it. I've always liked stuffing things in envelopes. It's a natural talent. You know people have natural talents of stuffing envelopes? Praise God. We need a lot of envelopes stuffed. As she was stuffing envelopes, the lady next to her was stuffing envelopes. A lot of troubles. She began to tell this lady. And so the lady stuffing envelopes began to listen. And there's two or three ways of listening. And as she listened, she began to listen very creatively, and she was able to share a little bit of encouragement. She had listening skills. That lady is now going into a counseling course because she found a spiritual ability that ran aside a natural talent. And if I had said to her, do you think God has gifted you spiritually to be a counselor? She would have dropped dead with fright. What, me? No, all I can do is stuff envelopes. But what she didn't know is everybody is gifted with a spiritual ability. And if you will just put your head down and put your shoulders to the work of the Lord, where you know you can help, your spiritual abilities, the opportunity for them and the ability will come as you're doing it. So often it happens like that.
More powerful teaching from the Briscoes is headed your way, so don't go anywhere. We've made a wide array of resources and content available to you online for free at tellingthetruth.org and on the Telling the Truth app. There, you can listen, read, and watch powerful teaching from Stuart and Jill on relevant topics like the sovereignty of God, the importance of the church, and how to grow closer with Jesus Christ. You can also request this month's featured resource as thanks for your gift of support to help share the abundant life Jesus offers with more people around the world. Visit us online or download the app today and experience life with Telling the Truth. Now, here's Jill again with her message today from the series, Here I Am, Send Aaron.
Now, this session is far too short, but in Here Am I, Send Aaron, there is a list of the spiritual abilities that are set out in Corinthians. And there is a list explaining those spiritual abilities to you. And I talk about the prophets and the teachers and the evangelists, the traveling presenters of the evangel, the pastors, the overseers, and I try and define each of those spiritual abilities for you. And you might want to go over those with your Bible. I hope you seriously do. The thing is, we have to always be sure that we are looking not to the gift when we discover a spiritual ability we really enjoy using, but to the giver. Like when Stuart used to come home after a long, long time away, and the kids would fly up to him, and he would be all excited and think, what are they going to say? Hello, Daddy, we're so glad to have you back. What was their first question? What'd you bring me? Now, that's very childlike, and we smile, but it is childlike, and as adults, we shouldn't say to God, what you give me? We should say, I'm so glad to have you here. We should be more interested in him and in his person and what he gives us and the gifts that we have. And Paul says there's a lot of dangers with spiritual abilities. You can get so absorbed and wrapped up in them and selfish about them, and some of them give you maybe a spiritual high, and you can enjoy that more than the reason they're given to you, to edify the body, to encourage the body. So there are dangers, and that's all wrapped up in those chapters. But basically speaking, if you find a need and meet it, whether you know you can or not, just try and muddle through. You might discover a spiritual gift you didn't know you had. If you suspect you might have a gift of teaching, offer yourself to the Sunday school and find out. They only put you to work for 3 months. You can get out at the end of it if you find you were wrong. But wouldn't it be sad if you had a gift of teaching, a spiritual gift of teaching, as well as a natural gift of teaching, both are needed, and you never tried to find out if you could do it? So what you do is you put yourself in a position, you put yourself in a risk's edge, and of course a lot of us don't do that. I have to tell you a story. There's two things you find out, whether you can or whether you can't, by offering to meet a need. That's how you discover your spiritual abilities. Offer to meet a need. That needs doing. I'll do it. Even if you're saying to yourself, oh, here am I, send Aaron. Try it. We needed to put concrete in a building when I was a youth leader. So I rang up the concrete man, found him in the book, made concrete, and I said, I need some concrete. He said, when do you need it? I said, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. He said, what do you want it for? How big an area? I said, well, we're going to put an art cellar in this old building. So he said, oh, you'll need so many tons. I gave him the dimensions, and he said, what time do you need it? And I said, 7 o'clock. 3 times he asked me, and I thought, this man's weird. Why does he want to know what time? He said, what type of concrete? And I said, oh, I don't know. I don't know anything about concrete, but we're going to come down and put it down. I've got all the kids ready to come at 7:30 or whatever. He said, now what time? He said, I'll send you some ready mix concrete. And I knew that was the name of it, ready mix. So I told him again, and I said, that's super. I said, give me a ton. Give me a ton then, if that's what you say, of ready mix. And he thought I said, ready mixed. So he mixed it, and he brought it early, and he put a ton of ready-mixed concrete on the sidewalk outside our youth center. Have you ever seen a ton of ready-mixed concrete? Well, not only was he early, we were late. And by the time I came around the corner, I thought, that's funny, I've never noticed that mountain there before. Right in front of the door, but it had set. Well, it had set about 9 inches in, so it was solid on the outside and sort of gooey inside and all crumbly. It was ruined, of course. And that's a story in itself, but I discovered that I did not have a natural talent or a spiritual gift for making concrete. But I tell you something, I found I had all sorts of other spiritual gifts and natural talents as I tried to meet a need. That was a disaster. But there were other things I tried to do that I'd never done before, and to my amazement, I found out I could do them. And you'll never find out if you can do anything unless you try. When I first became a pastor's wife, I said to my husband, I can't do this. I do not have the gifts this church expects me to have. I do have gifts, I know I have gifts, but they're not the ones that churches are looking for in a pastor's wife. So it's been a terrible mistake, and maybe I'll die, get leukemia, God will give you an American wife, and it'll be fine. But I can't do this. I'm going back to England. And he said to me, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing badly rather than not doing it all. And I thought he got it wrong. I said, no, if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. That's why we don't discover our gifts. If we can't do it well, we don't do it. He said, no, I didn't say that. He said, if it needs doing, do it. Better to do it badly than nobody do it. And many of those things I did extremely badly, and I still do them badly today, because I do not have a natural talent or spiritual gift. But out of sheer duty and guts and a willingness to make a fool of myself, I do them anyway because they need doing. But as I did some other things I didn't think I could do, to my amazement, I found out that I could do them. And you start doing it badly and willingly and cheerfully and hilariously because nobody else is doing it. And suddenly you say, boy, I'm beginning to do this goodly. Start off doing it badly, and you finish up doing it goodly if you're doing it willingly. As a verse in the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. So you do it heartily and badly for as long as it takes to figure out if you can do it goodly. And if you can't do it goodly, somebody sitting in the congregation will come up and say, oh, Jill, what a mess you're making of that. Let me help you. And that's the way you get all the jobs done in the church. Pastors' wives are willing to do it heartily and badly, and everybody is sorry for you. And those that can do it goodly, that are sitting there doing nothing, come and do it. And then you discover some of those talents and gifts you didn't know you had. Because you want to serve the Lord, you want to bring your material possessions, and you want to bring your natural talents. And you want to figure out, as you do those two things first, won't be too hard. Because your spiritual abilities, as you do the work of the Lord cheerfully and willingly, will begin to be needed and surface as you meet needs, as you serve people where you are.
J.
Jill, is there a connection between natural talent and spiritual gifts?
Maybe if you're in church, you'll hear these terms, natural talents and spiritual gifts. And we have questions from people about these things, at telling the truth. Let me see if I can define natural talents and spiritual gifts in a sentence or two. Very difficult. A natural talent is something you're born with. You're not born a Christian. You're on your own. You have to discover how God made you, and that's what we do in school. Usually we get an A for something and a B or a C or an F for other things. Guess what? The A is a special gift, a natural talent. But what the natural talent needs is spiritual help, strength to develop and reach your potential that God has put in you. You need training, etc., etc. If you want to find your natural talents, what you like doing best, what do you do best well in your gifting? Are you an artist? Are you a musician? Do you love math? Love geometry? Guess what? These are natural giftings you have, whether you're a Christian or not. But then what do you do to develop spiritual gifts? Well, first you have to be spiritual. What does that mean? You have to receive the Spirit. You cannot be a spiritual person without the Spirit of God. And so what does that mean? It means you need to understand the good news of God, the gospel. Gospel is good news. And you need to ask questions of somebody that you're pretty sure is a really amazing Christian, somebody that you admire, or walk into a church and find help and say, I need to know, what is this thing about being a real Christian? What do you mean about receiving Christ so that he can be what I cannot be, etc., and help me with my natural talents? And also give me things that I couldn't possibly have without receiving the Holy Spirit. Spiritual abilities. Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities, and the Bible is full of information about them. It's a fascinating thing. So find some help. Go ask the questions.
Thanks, Jill. Understanding God's will for our lives can be a struggle. Maybe His will isn't what you expected. Or maybe you just can't see how all the pieces fit together. That's why we want to help you discover God's plan by sending you God's Will for My Life. This eye-opening Bible teaching will help you to know who God wants you to be and what He wants you to do. God's Will for My Life is our thanks for your donation to keep telling the truth on air and online, helping you and others experience life in Christ. Don't wait, though, because time is running out to get this life-giving resource before this offer ends this month. So call now to get your copy of God's Will for My Life. 1-800-889-5388. That's 1-800-889-5388. Or you can give online at tellingthetruth.org. Thanks for listening today. Join us again as the Briscoes share more powerful truth from God's Word. Listen in and experience life next time on Telling the Truth.